everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer, and I'm the host of this weekly broadcast put on by SPED Homeschool, as well as its founder and CEO. We at SPED Homeschool empower families to home educate children with learning challenges, and I encourage you to check out our website at spedhomeschool.com to learn more about the resources and support that we offer families. This month is the month of June, and we are focusing on learning while you're out and about or on the go. And my guest today is going to be talking about how to homeschool on the beach, because I'm sure probably some of you will be visiting the beach maybe one or more times this summer. And why not make it a learning opportunity while you're there? So I'm excited to have you here, Beth. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Being
part of this conversation.
Yes, of course. I'm so excited to be here to talk about something that I'm really, truly passionate about for homeschoolers, for people who are on vacation. And when we say education on the beach, it doesn't have to be like, you know, lesson plans, clipboard. It can be right. Just the way you talk to your kiddos. And it can be really rewarding. So I'm so excited to be here.
We have enough to lug to the beach with the cooler and towels and all those things. Books do not need to come. And plus they get ruined anyways. So that's awesome. For those of you joining us, I see we have viewers popping on already. Just know that you can be part of our conversation by putting comments in the feed, whether you're watching on YouTube, on Facebook, on our Facebook page, or if you're watching in our Facebook support group. Just know if you are watching in that support group that you do need to give permission to StreamYard to be able to post your comments, because that is a private group. But we are excited to have you with us. And I love, Beth, as we are just getting started on this, if you would just tell us a little bit about your family, your homeschooling journey, just so our viewers have a little bit of background on you. And again, yes, why you're so passionate about the beach and in general and world schooling. If you can talk a little bit about that as well. I'd love that.
Cool. So I was homeschooled growing up for the majority of my education. I spent a little time in public high school, which was an interesting experience. And that's where I met my future husband.
So it was necessary.
It was. It worked out for the best. But I have an overwhelmingly positive feeling about homeschooling. I had no intention of homeschooling my own two kids because I'm a certified teacher. My husband's a certified teacher. And we spent our whole career right after college working as special education aides in the classroom, and then moving on to teaching positions. Loved it. Hit the pandemic, started having quite a bit of mental burnout, started seeing our own children struggling returning to the classroom, and I left the classroom to take care of both my mental health and also my daughter's needs and my son, who's now, so they're 6 and 3 now. And then my husband finished the year out and then left. And he is now an educational consultant for a substitute staffing company.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we're homeschooling now. It's very, we're very relaxed homeschoolers. We personally are secular homeschoolers, but all of our friends are a variety of all sorts of different things, all sorts of different beliefs and homeschooling methods. And we're very just welcoming of different values. And we enjoy homeschooling. And we actually started world schooling this year, which is basically like everything I ever wanted.
So explain for people that don't understand what world schooling is, because that may be a new term to them.
Yeah, definitely. So world schooling is just a fancy term for people who travel full time or as close to full time as they can. Mm-hmm. They take their kids with them and they educate them on the road or wherever they are. And it can look like putting your kids on an online program while you travel, or it can be a complete homeschool curriculum, which is what we do. People unschool on the road. So really it's as diverse as homeschooling itself. It just includes a travel component.
Right. Yeah, that's so exciting and so very fitting to what we're talking about this month, too. And so if you haven't heard about that and that seems intriguing, look out into that that whole world schooling. I know there's a whole community out there
that
do that. And it's fascinating. So you'll probably get a little taste of that as Beth is talking about homeschooling on the beach, because you did some of that in another country, and I'm sure you're going to bring that in as well.
For sure.
So that's awesome. Also, if you just want to write in the comments where you're watching from, that would be awesome too, because I know we have people even in other countries watching our show, and how exciting is that we're talking about schooling out and about and world schooling, and that we're all coming together to have this conversation. So, you know, the beach. And have you always had a love for the beach and the ocean? I know you said you grew up in Texas, so you're on the third coast. Or at least close to it.
We're actually super close to Lake Texoma, which is, you know, not a beach, but I just love the water any chance I can get into it. But actually, my love for the ocean and beach started as a homeschool research project.
Really?
I was rather a reluctant writer as a little kid. So I'm thinking like fourth or fifth grade, and my mom was probably at her wit's end. And she was like, you can pick any endangered animal, and you're just going to research it to the fullest. You are going to take ownership of, and I actually went through a couple different animals and then fell in love with whales. And I love everything about whales. I can get really nerdy about ocean animals, but those are my favorite. And so that was fourth or fifth grade. And since then, it's just always been a part of like a passion of mine. So anytime
did your mom actually get you to write?
She did. I wrote, tomes of paper about all sorts of animals, of whales, wolves, so I'm a prolific writer now. I love writing. It was a good strategy.
Yes.
It really was. I don't think she could have known the impact of that project, but
right. We talk a lot about that on our show, is just, you know, if you allow a child to follow their passions, that they don't really even think about that they're learning, because they're so passionate about wanting to find out more, and they don't equate that with school. It's just fun, and the discovery process is so engaging.
So true. So true. Yeah. If you let your kid kind of lead the way, they're going to find something they're really interested in.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So then your love for oceans expanded beyond whales, and do you any activities on the water, or?
Yeah, for sure. So most recently, on a solo trip to Cabo, Mexico, I purposely went to go swim with whale sharks. And I know they're not actually whales. They're actually sharks.
Uh-huh.
They're the biggest. But they're beautiful. They're the big blue spotted fish, the biggest fish in the ocean. And so I went to La Paz in Baja California and snorkeled with them. And it was a huge bucket list item of mine. Checked off. I'd like to do it routinely every year. And it was really cool because they have environmentals. They're taking the whale sharks' safety seriously. And so it's not like a destructive tourist. Like, tourists aren't coming in and ruining the environment or anything. They're taking care of it, which is really cool. Highly recommend that for families vacationing in Cabo, as long as you're really strong swimmers and your kids are at least teenagers. Now, if you have younger kids, like my family does, then you'll want to look into releasing baby sea turtles. It's a great experience. It's fairly affordable. And so on my solo trip, I was able to release olive Ridley sea turtles and about 200 of them on my own. And with a guide, it was so magical to see these little critters scurry off into the ocean. So that is a great option if you have some kids who are really interested in getting hands-on with ocean animals.
Yeah. There's just so many options out there. I know when we used to cruise a lot when our kids were younger, we would look up just different guides and tours that usually the cruise ship didn't offer, and look for mm-hmm. unique things related to what they're interested. Usually, you know, my son learned to scuba dive and nice. All of, you know, those kind of fun things that you would normally don't have those types of experiences at home. But when you get out to those deeper waters and some of the animals that you can interact with more in those spaces, to take advantage of it, because mm-hmm. you don't want to be kicking yourself afterwards saying, oh, right. I wish we would have.
Right. It's such a great experience. It's great for families to get out there and interact. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great advice for families. So beyond those things, what other experiences with ocean and beach life has your family had in just enjoying it and also for learning experiences?
Sure. So there's actually a marine biologist camp in Galveston based. It's put on by Texas A&M Galveston. And it's an amazing camp for your homeschool students. It's for everyone, but it would be mm-hmm. great for homeschool students as well. It's a sleepaway camp. They spend about a week there, and there's all sorts of topics. They have an introduction to marine biology camp. Highly, highly recommend if you've got a kid who's interested in marine bio and they want that introduction.
That's some really good advice, because I've had two friends who's their daughters have thought, oh, I wanted to go in marine mm-hmm. biology. And then they realized how difficult the program was.
Yes.
And they changed majors. So that would be maybe a cheaper alternative to mm-hmm. give them that experience versus having to change a whole major, maybe move a school.
For sure.
And,
Yeah,
try to transfer credits. So that's great advice.
And depending on where you're listening from, most places with a coast have some kind of junior marine biology program.
That's
and
awesome.
It's just a really great experience. It can be a life-changing experience for a teen mm-hmm. who wants to get involved in that.
Yeah. I didn't even know those existed. There's so mm-hmm. many camps out there now that we can take advantage of. And yes, if your child is interested in that, get that exposure. Where other places can we get that exposure for our kids? I'm thinking lakes too, mm-hmm. or
yeah,
instead
for sure.
of just, you know, if we're by an ocean, maybe we're landlocked, but mm-hmm. we do have masses of water. What else can we do?
Yeah, for sure. So not all of us are lucky enough to be on the coast. We live near a lake. If you're a couple hours away from a lake, you might plan a weekend away or a day trip. Get those kids out there with a shovel and pail, even if it's not the prettiest beach. Lake Texoma
right.
doesn't have the prettiest beaches, but my kids love to dig in the dirt around
yeah.
the lake.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great sensory activity to have their sand tools in the water. Depending on their age, you know, I'm hyper focused in on younger kids, but there's a variety of toys, tools they can bring and really engage with nature. Now, if they're older and they're interested in art, for example, sketchbooks mm-hmm. are great.
Oh,
some
yeah. mm-hmm.
some kind of tool to take pictures of and document what they're seeing. That's another great way to get involved in the water.
Yeah. We've even seen that now a lot of beaches do rentals mm-hmm. for like paddle boards and mm-hmm. canoes. And, you know, just learning the skills on how to get on one of those, use
yeah.
them, and then how to properly, you know, to row or mm-hmm. paddle a canoe. That's a skill in itself. I grew up in Minnesota and we would take week trips up to the Boundary
yes.
Waters canoe area. And got very good at what's a C stroke, what's a J stroke, why do you use them?
So,
because you get so tired on one side versus the other. And so those are some great skills to have your kids know, and if that equipment's available. investments.
For sure. And you can actually, this last summer, we purchased a mini kayak. They have them at a lot of the sporting goods stores. They're like a couple hundred dollars.
That's inexpensive. Yeah.
We tow it behind one of our kayaks. So my daughter's back there. She's six and she's working on this. And she told me the other day, like, I don't want to be tied up to you. I want to. So she's got her life jacket on. Right. It's a great skill for her to learn.
That is. Is that one of those sit on top ones?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a little safer. They don't get stuck in there.
No.
Tip over. And yeah, there's so many great things out there now that kids can use and we can access pretty easily versus in the past. It was so difficult. You'd have to have a license on your boat and then go through, you know, getting everything checked. And now it's basically a larger inflatable than or a permanently inflated something. Yeah. That makes it easier to access that water. Do you have any, ideas as far as, like, you know, we would bring nets, you know, and buckets and the kids would catch things and release them. Have you done any of that with your kids and have any ideas for parents who are maybe like, well, I know my child's interested in those little creatures, but what do we do with them? how do we respect them, but also learn as we're watching them, observing them? Or
for sure. I can think of a couple different times that we've caught critters either on vacation or at home, crawdads, tadpoles, and then we caught a puffer fish when we were in Destin. You just want to encourage your kids to observe, not touch, not only for the animal but so they don't hurt themselves. We usually keep it in a bucket so that we can all come and look at it, observe it, take a video of it, talk about it, and then let it go that same, you know, within the same hour.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a great experience. The kids will remember it forever.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because, yes, to interact. I think it's, you know, we love those things when we go to zoos and they have those interactive.
The touch tanks.
Those tanks. Awesome. But that can be accessible just in our backyard if we take the time and help our kids to find those things and have some tools, I guess, to do that.
And you don't have to go out and purchase anything. Now, you can at Walmart get something fairly cheaply that's all compiled together for sand. But often we'll just let them use an old sour cream container or like a big ladle from the kitchen, something we're not really attached to.
Yeah. Let them go play with that. So any ideas for like building with sand?
For sure. So just those odds and ends, like the containers that you may have, you can stack them all up together, put them in your beach bag. My kids really enjoy digging just a big old hole and then taking the bucket and filling it up with water. It's a really great sensory activity. A lot of kids love it. However, there are some kids that do not like the feeling of sand. My dad actually, he hates the feeling of sand and he hates going to the beach. It's just it's like a sensory processing thing. So if your kiddo's like that, then you'll want to be cognizant of that and keep them on a towel and maybe keep shoes on them.
Right. Yeah.
But if your kids enjoy the sand, they enjoy the wet sand, it feels really good, then they'll spend hours just playing with random trash that you've brought from the kitchen and sand and water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And lots of ways to create scenes and interact with, you know, whatever you make into characters. And
for sure.
I just recently read in a book I was reading that the research now shows that free play will create new brain cells, not just new neural connections. And I was just fascinated by that, realizing that ability to just allow our kids to play is enhancing their brains and their learning more than we ever even thought that it was.
That's so amazing. And that's one of the reasons I love to get out there in the water on the sand, because you're not having to entertain your kids. They're literally playing on their own. It's screen free time, so it's guilt free. I don't have any guilt with however long we stay at the beach. And the one thing I really noticed is so my daughter's six and she's probably a type A person. a little shyer, a little more withdrawn. I saw her confidence grow exploring on the beach. There are these big rocks in Normandy on the beach, on the coast of Normandy, where we spent about 2 months this year. Yeah. And she was pretending to be like a little mountain climber, and she was jumping from rock to rock. And normally she's really hesitant about that kind of thing. And I was just kind of watching her, and she was so proud of herself. And she'd go further. Cool. And then she was like, I'm going to go take a walk by myself. And I'd watch her walk on the beach, and she's never done anything like that before.
Wow. Yeah, that's that's one nice thing about really large beaches like that. Mm-hmm. I know we used to live in Oregon, and beaches are like that too. But you can see for so far. Mm-hmm. And so they have that line of sight. I can still see mom, but yet I can still be independent instead of having like buildings and trees and all those other things that usually block our vision from seeing one another. So that's really cool. Can you talk a little bit about Normandy Beach and just that was? That's so exciting that you were able to spend so much time there.
So we spent 3 months in France in total, because that's how long a tourist visa from the United States, well, how long you can be there without a visa. And then you have to leave the area. So we went to France because one of the airlines allowed pets, and we have two cats and a dog.
Oh my goodness.
So we packed everybody on there, went to France, spent a month outside of Paris and 2 months in Normandy. And Normandy was gorgeous. Gorgeous. And we were there in winter time, so it wasn't, you know, vacation-y, beachy weather.
Right.
It was that cold, rocky beach. But actually, the town where we were in, Barfleur, had a harbor, and you could see the tides leave and come in so drastically so that in the evenings, the boats would all be down on the sand. And then in the mornings,
so dramatic.
So it was the perfect opportunity to teach our kids about tides. And it was a really nice visual reminder for ourselves. Now we're both science teachers. And we were like, we've never seen that drastic.
Right.
And then we experienced two neat tides where throughout the day, it kind of, the water stayed where it is instead of going up or down drastically. And so both of our kids have a pretty good understanding about the moon and tides now, which is excellent.
Yeah, those visuals, they experienced it. They lived it. And so did you ever get time to go down and see what was in the sand when the tide was low and find any treasures or
hunting? So I can think of one day in particular, I took my three-year-old down the ramp where they take all the boats. There's a bunch of sailboats. And there are just these huge crab shells. I mean, I'm talking dinner plate size crab shells. That had probably been eaten by some kind of critter down in the water, and really long crab legs. There are these big dish plate looking shells. There wasn't a whole lot of ocean life in the tide pools, but I did see a seal. It had snuck into the harbor and popped its head up and said hi and then went back. And that was the highlight of my trip.
That's really cool. Yeah. So, so you had a lot of opportunities to teach and learn. And did you talk, I'm assuming you talked about history, because with Normandy, there's so much history there.
Actually, where we were, Barfleur, there's a, I don't know what you would call it, like, not a sign, but like a seal kind of on one of the boulders. And it's the embarkation point where, William the Conqueror left France to go to England, and that was the exact location. It was also a big point for World War II. And we went to Omaha and Utah Beach, but there was also quite a bit of activity in the city where we were. And there was a placard. That's the word I was thinking of. There's a placard to some families that had been removed from France and sent to camps in Germany. And there were placards commemorating those families. So really rich in history as well.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, there are so many other beaches in the world that have history related to them. And oftentimes we don't think about that. Even if it's a lake beach, there's history around communities and, usually people congregate around water. Mm-hmm. and so things happen. We may just go to a town because the lake is nice or, you know, the beach is good, but we forget that there's history in those places too.
So
and,
true.
And that can become part of our learning experience. So do you have any recommendations for families if they're thinking, I'm going to head to the beach, to the water, what can they do at home to prepare?
Yeah, for sure.
For that. Yeah.
So there, if you've got a teen, I would just let them loose on the internet. It's researching the area. I recommend looking at pictures of a couple hundred years ago of the area because the water difference, I mean, erosion has probably changed the area quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Younger ages could do things like look up species that are local there, and then they can list them out, print out a list, and kind of do like a scavenger hunt for species. Bring your camera along. Mm-hmm. And then there are some amazing read alouds available mm-hmm. about beach combing and visiting the beach. And I can compile a list of those. And those are great to read to your kids before mm-hmm. visiting a beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's some great suggestions. Cause yeah, we just think we're going to go to the beach, but preparing your kids ahead of time so that they are more aware of what to look for and what is there. I interviewed a guest a couple months ago and she said, if you don't know what you're looking for, you won't see it.
That's so true.
But if you do know what to look for, you will see it because you're more looking, you know, mm-hmm. beyond just the scanning for those types of things. And so it enhances that learning experience.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, well, our kids get to the beach and we're playing and doing all these things, but turning that sometimes, you know, well, I'm bored now. I want to go home into, yeah, we just got here
yeah.
and you're bored already. Any ideas on how to get kids more engaged?
For sure. So thankfully we haven't hit that yet. The beach is like their happy place, but uh-huh. I totally get what you're saying. It's like you have an amazing activity planned out and then they just stomp all over it.
Right.
So I recommend don't pull out all your tricks all at once. So I usually stash a couple special things. So we're an hour or two in. Well, here's this cool shovel.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's the cookie cutters we're going to use in the sand. So mm-hmm. I don't let them have access to it all at once. Mm-hmm. For sure. The other thing, you'll want to make sure everybody's taken care of so that they're not getting too cranky. Everybody's fed, everybody's watered, everybody's out of the sun. My son is a ginger, so we've got to keep him really taken care of because that will ruin a beach trip really soon.
Yeah, that is so true. There's things that we can do and then things that we can do that, yeah, both positive and negative. And we want to kind of, you know, make sure that we choose those things that keep our kids moving in the right direction of mm-hmm. being more explorers, not complaining mm-hmm. and enjoying
for
the
sure.
experience. Yeah. Especially if you've gone a long way and made an
yes.
effort to get there and you just
yes.
don't want to turn around right away. So mm-hmm.
yeah and they can be bored. If they're saying they're bored mm-hmm. they don't really necessarily mean that. They just want some instant gratification.
Yes.
So you can just acknowledge what they're saying, like, okay, well, we're not ready to go yet, and then
yeah.
you'll be
uh-huh.
probably surprised that they'll find something they want to do.
Right, exactly. Yes, it's also a good place to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
And for the kids in our community that have social skills they need to work on, that is another opportunity.
For sure.
My kids always would find someone eventually, not always mm-hmm. in the beginning, but they'd always find someone that, you know, wanted to dig where they wanted to dig, or, you know, get the net out to catch some tadpoles when they were doing that. And then all of a sudden a bond would happen. And
for sure,
it was less pressure on mom to let's pack up and leave now.
Yeah. So I always love. Oh, oops, go ahead.
No, I was going to transition, but I want you to finish that.
I always love when I'm going someplace like the playground and they find somebody. I'm like, yes, now I can read my book, or I can just sit here and kind of zone out. I'm not responsible for their entertainment.
Right. Well, let the other energetic child there be their entertainment.
This is my first time.
That's good. Yeah. So you had told me that you have some Netflix videos that you recommend as well.
So what I meant by that is there are documentaries on Netflix that are great for, this is another thing you can do to prep before going to the beach. You'll want to kind of skim the content of a documentary before showing to your kids. One of the big factors we found is if you have a sensitive child, usually documentaries will show like maybe an animal getting eaten, maybe the animal, an octopus, when we just watch the animal, the octopus dies in the end. Oh. And you can kind of skip ahead or pause it where you need to. But Netflix is a great resource for ocean documentaries. There is so much stuff on there. And actually, we've integrated it into our homeschool routine. We have a quiet hour every day, ideally, and we'll go and we'll watch a documentary, which I'm really interested in. My daughter, who's six, loves to watch it, and she just soaks in all the animal science knowledge. And then my son falls asleep, so it's perfect.
It's a win-win. Win-win, yes, all the way around. I was just telling moms last weekend at the conference I spoke at, I'm like, do things that you love, not just the things that your kids love, because you that's a part of self-care is have to read out louds we want to read, watch movies we want to watch. I mean, as long as they're safe for your kids, don't forget about yourself. And I think at the beach, you know, we're getting vitamin D and even research has proven when you know you're actually doing something good for yourself, it's actually more effective.
That is so cool.
So know that you're taking care of yourself while you're sitting on the ground, because you're moving your hip flexors. You're not sit in a chair, sit on the beach towel, practice getting up and down from being on the ground. Just so many things that we can do, and we don't even think about them as self-care. And yeah, just when we take our kids out and do things, and it's just so good, even to just exercise our eyes, you know, look at the horizon. And that's one thing, the ocean. I mean, you can just stare at the ocean.
yes, for sure. And yeah, so if you're into meditating, it's a really great place. I know it could be hard to juggle when you have kids with you. But another thing is if you struggle maybe with sitting down, I know a lot of moms do, they're up and bouncing around. I'm actually pursuing an ADHD diagnosis for myself. And so I want to sit and enjoy the beach, and I struggle to do so. So instead I'll, you know, play in the sand and relax, or maybe stack some rocks. And it kind of helps me center myself because my hands are doing something.
Right.
So it's really just a great experience for a lot of people and a lot of different learners.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. And just even like trying to breathe to the waves, and, you know, that calms your entire nervous system down. Your breath does. And there's just so many benefits to getting near the beach. And if you haven't been there in a long while, I just know when we go, we always sleep better when we're at the beach. You know, there's something about the ocean. I don't know what it is. And I think it's just the lapping of the waves. You just kind of feel it in the ground. But yeah. So, if you have any comments or questions, I know we have some viewers watching, but you've been kind of quiet, and I know sometimes some of you just like to turn us on, and you're taking your time with between lessons with your kids, and that's completely fine. But yeah, I don't. Any other things that you wanted to share, Beth?
I I guess just creating like a holistic experience. You can bring this the beach back home. You can bring sand in jars. We bring so much stuff home from the beach. We bring, you know, driftwood and shells. And my kids do whatever they want with it, decorate with it, or we count with it. So really, we keep using it for several days after.
And jewelry as they get older. I know my daughter is... picked up shells and made jewelry with them. Oh, and this last time we went to Florida, she found this skeleton and she actually researched how to clean it to take all the bacteria off of it. The thing smells so bad.
Yeah, I bet.
but yeah, there's just a variety of different things that you can even bring back and continue the learning further beyond just at the beach.
For sure. There are beaches, you know, some of us are located more closely than others, but rocky coast, sandy coast, lake coast, all of those things. Personally, my favorite beach is in Alaska. It's along, they call it the Land's End, but Homer is right on the tip of Alaska. There are some amazing volcanoes you can see. Wow. We collected lava rocks and talked about rock cycles and volcanoes. It's just an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Get out there.
I think we often think beach, you know, is like the swimsuit and the kind of the Caribbean type of thing. But there's beaches all around the world that are maybe in some less hospitable climates where you would not want to wear a bathing suit.
Right.
But still, they have incredible discoveries and learning opportunities on all of them. And so wherever you're at and where you have access to and can access or get to with your kids. The opportunities are there to learn. So, and you have a download that
I
want you to talk about with our viewers and listeners.
For sure. So I'm a certified teacher, and for the majority of my teaching career, I was in charge of creating all my own materials, usually in Spanish, because I was the only Spanish teacher on the campus. So let me make sure I've got it pulled up. Let's see. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. Anyways, it's just a quick, pretty reference to give you some inspiration on things you can do at the beach with your kiddos. All different kinds of subjects. So we think, you know, of course you can do science at the beach. Math isn't so much of a stretch of the imagination. You can do tally marks, you can do graphs, you can count. But also it's a great place to do your language arts, art. I'm trying to think what else I have on there. So anyways, it's just a... Let's see.
Sensory stuff. And then you have the story.
And then the second page is a, not a writing prompt so much, but it's an area where the kids can draw a picture. And then there's some lines where they can write. And depending on your child's age, obviously this isn't for older kiddos. This is more elementary geared. But a lot of the times with my daughter, who's, six, she'll draw and maybe I'll help label it, and then she dictates it to me and I write it down, and while I'm writing I'm demonstrating, you know, capitals, finger spacing, punctuation, spelling. So that's probably my favorite kind of activity to do with her. So I just wanted to have that for you guys. I know hopefully a lot of people are heading to the beach and getting some R&R this summer.
Yeah. And like you said, bring a camera. So if you don't want to bring the printable with you because it's paper, have pictures that your kids can pick off the camera or the phone, and then they can draw the picture if they need a reference, if they can't remember it, and then use the prompt from there. So if you're listening on the podcast, that free download can be accessed by going to thehomeschoolgraduate.com /beach. And then also talk to us about your website.
Yeah, so it's a pretty beginner website, but it's drawing on my experience as a homeschooled student, my experience as a teacher and now as a world schooler. So I produce one or two posts a month, and they are geared for newbie homeschool families. There's a lot of families, especially in Texas, who maybe got a taste of homeschooling during COVID, and they're like, oh, this is too cool. But there's so much stuff on the internet that it can be hard to hone down one source. So this is a source for kind of overwhelmed homeschool families to find information. And then I have an email list that I email once a week, and it it's just a source of reassurance for parents who have questions. And I also like to talk about read alouds. Yeah, so we have a really good time. I'm actually putting together a summit, an inclusive homeschool summit that will be available in July, and I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome. Yeah, we have one viewer that just popped on YouTube. She said, just tuned in, have to rewatch. Thanks for this ministry. I just graduated my first child last year, but still have so much to learn with last three unconfirmed ADHD, APD, and autism. Yes, we are here for you. awesome. But yeah, close to 900 videos on this channel. Definitely search. I tell people don't watch them all. watch ones that you feel like would really be helpful for whatever you're looking for. And this month, we're just focusing on being out and about. And this was really great information that you shared with us, Beth, because we can get stuck as parents and think, I need a book. I need a plan and maybe just a few ideas and a well-packed bag is what I'm hearing. Yes. A little preparation ahead of time and then the willingness to be a little bored and explore and try some new things can lead to a lot of learning when we're out.
Definitely. That was so beautifully summarized. That's exactly what I was trying to get across.
So awesome. So do you have any closing comments of just encouragement to families, you know, who maybe are afraid that, you know, if they take this learning, you know, lighten up on the books throughout the summer. I know a lot of our families do year-round schooling because they feel like their kids are going to get so far behind. Mm-hmm. What encouragement do you have for them that learning won't stop if they put the books down?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, I guess just I can tell you from experience that some of the most powerful moments of my education as a homeschooled student were when my mom took her hands off the reins and she said, pick out whatever you want in the library. I'm going to be over here. I've got my latte and I'm reading. or we grew up, we had a giant backyard and my brother and I would go out and just mess around and dig. We dug holes to catch rabbits because that was we thought they were going to fall in a hole and we would have a pet rabbit. And then we'd come back and tell her about it. So basically it was just a really idyllic childhood. And I think that's what your children will remember.
Yeah.
And it's a gift that you can give them that they're not getting in public school.
Yeah, that's just that ability to explore and play and learn. And again, that free play. So important. And that's really cool that you say those are the things you remember the most.
Yes, for sure.
And you probably hinged a lot of your learning on those experiences when you were learning things out of books. And we don't often think about how just fundamentally important those are for the foundation of our child's learning. Is those experiences. We often think, well, if we just can get caught up and get to the right reading level, it doesn't just happen that way usually.
And I would tell parents who are concerned about getting caught up and who are concerned about losing track, this generation's all going to have gaps because of the pandemic. Your child is going to be just as well equipped as, if not more so, than kids going to public school. And you are trying your best. And if you're present, the kids are going to be having a wonderful educational experience and they'll thank you for it. when they grow up.
We hope and pray that.
Yeah, right.
But it's
right.
Nice to hear from somebody who's been there, done that. My kids have most of them.
I think that's pretty common as well. I give my mom a hard time about it. Yeah. If I misspell something, I'm like, well, who taught me how to spell?
Right. Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yes. No, it's not all rainbows and sunshine. It's a lot of sarcasm.
Yes, exactly. We teach our kids how to argue their points, mm-hmm. and be really good at those types of things, and then we get upset that they argue with us.
Right, that's like, I can't get on with my daughter for getting a little bit of an attitude, just a little bit. I'm like, well, that's how I talk to her, so really,
yep, exactly.
I gotta change if I don't like that.
Yes, because your kids will copy you, and then you go, oh my goodness, where did they learn that from? Yes. Uh-huh, exactly. So good. So yeah, Fonda said, yes, I've been watching those that apply. Fortunate for this time while my kids are with their grandparents, learning nice. More compassion for my kids to go at their pace. Mm-hmm. And that's so, so important. Well, I'm glad that you have this resource, and also know that we turn this into a podcast if that is an easier way to access, which I know a lot of families have told mm-hmm. us that it is. We kind of want to make it available in the formats that are most accessible to you. And for some, the videos work really well. We will take shorter segments out of this video and republish them next week. So you can watch 3 to 5 minute clips of the highlights, the things that we know that parents have been asking questions about, so that that'll be on the YouTube channel as well as this full broadcast. But thank you so much, Beth. This has been such an enlightening and engaging and fun conversation.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It was great having you on. And thank you for creating that download for our community. And just know, as soon as the broadcast is over, I will put the link in the YouTube description so you can just click on it. You don't even have to remember the URL, but if you want to hear it again, it's thehomeschoolgraduate.com/beach, and that'll get you to that download. And it's you wrote it up so cute too. It's pretty.
Thank you.
I am so boring when I do things like that.
I honestly spend so much time making things. I it's the visual art piece, I think. I love designing curriculum that's accessible for families, and then I probably spend a little too much time making it cute.
That's okay. There's a lot of moms out there looking for that. And so you're definitely filling a niche, and
I hope so.
It's probably well appreciated from all the people that follow you and visit your site. So
we have a good time
for what you do, and I'm sure it helps with your kids too, with schooling them.
Mm-hmm. I create quite a bit of things for them. So
that's cool. They are lucky kids.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much.
Customized curriculum. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, this was a lot of fun. And if you're just watching now, I see we have more viewers popping on at the end. Just rewatch the video. We'll be done soon with the live, and you can do a replay, and then the podcast will come out on Sunday. So yeah. Well, and we appreciate you all, our viewers, for tuning in with us. We do this show live every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30 Central. And next week, we're going to be talking about homeschooling out and about, kind of just a general. I'm talking with a couple of homeschooling consultants from Home Life Academy, and they have been there, done that, and want to give you some tips and hints about how to do school just about anywhere. So that will be available. And Barb said, sorry, missed the live, we'll replay. So, and we know a lot of you do that. It's just nice to make it available. So thanks all again for joining us. And Beth, it was just a blessing to have you on the show. And we'll be back again next week to wrap up this topic before we head into July and a new one. So yeah. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Make sure you check out our website at spedhomeschool.com. We do have blogs that come out every month related to the same topic. And so just you can learn lots of other ways to homeschool out and about. And then, of course, search previous blogs for other topics that might be relative to helping you home educate a learner that needs to have some out-of-the-box strategies. So that's what we mostly focus on. So thanks, everybody. God bless, and we'll see you all next week. Take care.
Jesus wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, "Do you trust me? Because together we can do this." With Mornings with Jesus, you can start your day in a positive way. Find hope through inspirational stories and scripture. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Mornings with Jesus. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.